Hello friends, please consider supporting my Flavors and Knowledge podcast. Donated proceeds are applied to absorb the cost of cooking classes and health education for children. Help a child affected with diabetes with a donation toward the proper management of the condition through Food First. This message is brought to you by Chef Walter's Children Diabetes Foundation. Hello friends, please consider supporting the Flavors and Knowledge podcast. Donated proceeds are applied to absorb the cost of cooking classes and health education for children. Help a child affected with diabetes with a sponsorship donation toward adequately managing the condition through Food First. Chef Walter's Children Diabetes Foundation brings this message. Hello friends, welcome back. This is Chef Walter with another episode of Flavors and Knowledge. The topic today is absolutely interesting. And since we are at the middle of the spring here, obviously it is probably not even pertinent to this time of the year because it applies mostly to fall seasons and winter times. It's called Indian Pudding Resurgence. I noticed that chefs throughout New England, especially here where we live, have been rediscovering the initial flavors of the early settlers, promoting Indian pudding as a hearty alternative in dessert menus. If we go back in the 70s, Indian pudding could be found in many of the diners and restaurants in New England. Somehow, with the introduction of newer and eclectic desserts, the pudding slowly lost the appeal. Possibly brought with the British occupation, I think, who seemed to enjoy something similar called hasty pudding, a concoction of wheat flour with milk or water, cooked until it thickened. And then, when wheat became scarce in New England, the early settlers began using cornmeal in substitution to the grain, hence the name of Indian pudding, because cornmeal was widely used by the natives at a time. Some of the early recipes were sweetened with molasses and also maple syrup. And of course, the savory variety had meat drippings, which were cooked in a mush format, so to speak. It was considered humble food, satisfying and filling, enriched with all kinds of ingredients to nurture the harsh, longer New England winters. Years later, with the introduction of other spices such as cinnamon and ginger, the pudding elevated its status to a more decadent treat. Many variations exist. Some include eggs, raisin, walnuts. Sometimes they are baked or other times cooked on stovetop. Some early cookbooks dating back to the 1700s already featured some unclear recipes. And in the 1800s, the pudding enjoyed a staple presence at New England tables, especially during the fall season leading to Thanksgiving and post-that. With the 20th century approaching, the pudding became sweeter and moved from the breakfast table to a dessert offering. Today, Indian pudding does not enjoy a celebratory status, other than the yesteryear food lovers and romantic researchers of past flavors. For someone like myself, not raised in Indian pudding, the resemblance to the Neapolitan migliaccio is striking. And I think I already did a podcast on the migliaccio itself. I have made Indian pudding following the classic version, including eggs, and also an egg-free stovetop, which is finished in the oven. As you know, if you made Indian pudding before, the original recipes call for a lengthy baking time, which I find personally very excessive. For a proper historical reenactment of the dish, you really need a millstone ground from the Rhode Island Whitecap Flint corn, which is hard, tough to crack, and it is less sweet but more buttery than the hybrid strains. One of the oldest incarnations of the plant was cultivated by the local Narragansett Indian, and it was saved from extinction by a few equally flinty Rhode Island farmers. The recipe I will share with you comes from George Crowther. He's the owner and chef of the Yankee Diner, Commons Lunch, which has stood on the town square of Lillicompton, Rhode Island, since 1966. And so let's make the Indian pudding together, the classic version. The ingredients are for 6 to 8 servings, and you will need some unsalted butter for the baking dish, 4 cups of whole milk, 1 cup of fine ground yellow cornmeal, 1/2 cup of molasses, 4 large organic eggs, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of raisins, 1 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, and enough whipped cream or ice cream for serving if so preferred. For the procedure, let's heat the oven at 350 degrees and let's butter a 2-quart baking dish. In a large pot, warm the milk over medium high heat until hot but not boiling. Let's whisk in the cornmeal and the molasses and cook, whisking continuously, for about 2 minutes. At that point, you need to reduce the heat to a medium-low. In a separate bowl, crack the eggs and lightly beat. Slowly add 1/2 cup of the hot cornmeal mixture to the egg, whisking constantly. Pour the tempered egg mixture into the pot, constantly whisking to keep the eggs from scrambling, and cook for about 3 minutes. At that point, you are able to remove the pot from the fire. Stir in some sugar, raisin, vanilla, and the ginger. Pour the mixture into the prepared pan, then place in a larger baking dish or a roasting pan. This is called the bain-marie method, or the water bath, as commonly known among the culinarians. Transfer to the oven and carefully pour the water into the larger container until it comes about halfway up the size of the smaller baking dish. Again, the water will allow the eggs to cook but not scramble. You need to bake the pudding until it sets, but it still jiggles slightly in the center. It will take about 45 minutes to 1 hour. You can serve warm, topped with whipped cream or ice cream, or you can allow it to cool. I also have an Indian pudding, which is, as I said, done over the stove, on top of the stove, directly on the fire. And this will take, of course, considerably less amount of time. You can have this downloaded if you follow us on Substack.com, where we run the Flavors and Knowledge newsletter, and the recipe will be right there. I will share the link with you on the show notes. In addition to that, we will give you links to some of the services that we offer. And by the way, before I go away, if you have some suggestions on topics that you might be interested in, email them to us at info@flavorsandknowledge.com. We will certainly consider them, and you will see your topic in the next podcast. In the meantime, if you are in a kitchen attempting to make the classic version of Indian pudding, or perhaps a stovetop version, always keep your eyes on the fire. We will reconnect on the next round. Stay well and be safe. Ciao, ciao.
Flavors and Knowledge is brought to you by Chef Walter's Cooking School in Cranston, Rhode Island. For classes, workshops, events, and programs, please visit our website at chefwalterscookingschool.com. For all other services offered by Chef Walter's Food Group, check out our main website, chefwalter.com.